Hey, good to see you guys this morning. Good crowd here this morning to hear the Word of God preached. I pray that you turn to Romans chapter 12 for our lesson this morning. Romans chapter 12. We're going to use this as just a jumping off point as we continue our study through keys to spiritual growth. Keys to spiritual growth, and we have made it to point number 6, and that is as far as we will get this morning. So, Romans chapter 12, and I want to draw your attention to verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I want you to, this is number six right here, the first part of verse 2. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of life. Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to come to your house. Lord, I do pray that as we have sang praises to your name, that those have been done from the heart, Lord, that they've been pleasing to you. Lord, as your word has been read, I pray that you would use it, Lord, to help us grow. Lord, that's our goal for this year, Lord. We want to grow closer to you and grow as saints of your word. And Lord, we want that to shine forth that other people would believe, Lord. And I just pray that you would use that to draw people to yourself. Lord, I pray that you would use me to say something that would be pleasing to your ears. Lord, as we leave here, we would say it's been good to be in the house of God. Lord, we thank you for your son Jesus most of all. We thank you for the finished work of Calvary, for it's in his precious name we do pray. Amen. Some time ago, we started this series, and we have said that there's going to be 10 keys in order for us to grow spiritually. There's many more than these 10, don't get me wrong. But we're going to focus on these 10. I like them, and we're going to keep working on them. But in order to grow spiritually, we have to know that we are saved first, right? We have to. If we're going to grow, we have to be born. Okay? We want to grow closer to God. We want to grow as His children. We're not supposed to be babes in Christ all of our life. We are to grow. And some of those things, we got to know that the scriptures to be true. We have to call on the name of Jesus, and we have to know that Jesus' death on Calvary was the finished work of Calvary. I heard a sermon this week, and it's maybe one of the best lines I've heard about the gospel in a long time, that the law is a proclamation of those things that must be done, but the gospel is a proclamation of those things that have already taken place. And we have to understand that the finished work of Calvary has already taken place. There's nothing that we can do to add to it. There's nothing we should do to take away from it. That it is, when Jesus cried, it is finished, God's plan of salvation was complete. We have to understand that. And we have to know that that is what saves us. Point number 2 in our study was that we need to immerse ourselves in Scripture. It is the Scriptures that gives us our food. It gives us our spiritual nourishment. It is that which is our light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. We have to understand and we have to immerse ourselves in Scripture. Point number 3 was that we need to grow in our love and worship for the Lord. Okay, as we grow, there, I believe that we grow closer to the Lord. It's something that we need to take place. When you first get married, okay, you just think that you love your wife or your husband, I believe. I believe that over time that love grows stronger, and that just as that love grows stronger, our love and worship for our Heavenly Father should grow as well, specifically in how we fear and reverence Him. Okay, we have to make sure that we understand that. Point number 4 was that we needed to live in obedience to the Lordship of Christ. Okay, Jesus is Lord. That's when you are saved, you confess him as Lord. Okay, you confess him as the ruler, or giving him the right to rule your life. Okay, we need to understand that. And when he gives us his commands, we need to obey those commands. And that is one of the ways that we live in obedience, that we obey what we find in Scripture. And I think as we grow, things are revealed to us in Scripture a little bit at a time. And as we gain that insight, as we gain that wisdom that the Holy Spirit gives us, that we can grow, and we need to obey Him as we get them. Last week we talked about being filled with the Spirit, okay? And we said that we need to fill our mind with spiritual things. Okay, there's so much stuff that can get us distracted in this world that we must fill our minds with spiritual things. And we said that it needed to be filled with songs and hymns and spiritual songs and of thanksgiving in our hearts. But not only our minds, we need to make sure that we fill our walk with spiritual things. Those, and we'll get into some of that again here in just a minute. But we need to fill our walk with spiritual things, so much so that when people see us out in the world, that there's fruit in our lives. And in Galatians 5 and verses 22 and 23, it says that there are fruit as part of being filled with the Spirit of the living God. There is fruit that comes from our life. And you can go in there and see that there are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, gentleness, goodness, meekness. Against such there is no law. And we have to understand that if we're going to be filled with the Spirit, we cannot do it apart from being close to Jesus. He said in John 15 and 5 that apart from me, you can do nothing. We have to understand that. And as we get into our point for today, we have to learn to resist. We have to learn to resist three things, and we're going to look at these three things here this morning. We have to learn to resist the world, we have to learn to resist the flesh, and we have to learn to resist the devil. So as we get in, as we go through this, I pray that the Lord would bless you, and we need to learn how to resist these things in order to grow closer to the Lord. Last summer, Brother Mike Shamlin did a series on spiritual warfare. Those of you who was here, you remember that. The Christian is in a spiritual battle. Okay, it is a spiritual battle. It's a war. And it seems that these days we are trying to get closer to Jesus. When we do that, that battle just gets hotter, I think. When you're getting close to Jesus, that battle is just going to keep getting more fierce, and the struggle just becomes more real. And honestly, you think about it, the Christian that's not struggling probably is not doing something right. I would go that far. If you're not struggling with some of the things that you see in this world, I would believe that you're not where you need to be with Jesus, okay? The spiritual battle is a constant thing. Jesus said that in this world you will have trials, you will have tribulations. That's all part of that spiritual battle, that it will come. It says you will. That means that he's confident it's going to happen, okay? Anyone who tells you that the Christian life or the Christian walk is full of roses and flowers and all that stuff, is they're not looking at the same book I'm looking at, okay? There's going to be trials. There's going to be struggles. And Paul talks about his trials. He talks about his fights. He talks about things that get in the way of him trying to share Jesus. But in the midst of the fight, Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11, he says, out of all these trials, out of all these heartaches, out of all these struggles, all these spiritual battles, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. We have to understand that the Lord is there fighting for us. We have Jesus fighting with us. Paul says in Philippians 1 and 19, I know that this shall turn to my salvation through two things. First is through the prayers of the saints, but also it is through the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We have to understand that when Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit, he's there fighting with us. but we have to be filled. We talked about that last week. We have to be filled with that Spirit, okay? And Jesus will supply that for all of those spiritual battles. We must be as close to Jesus as we can if we want to succeed in these battles. And there's three main battles. I've already told you what they are, but we want to go through each one. There's three main battles that we want to talk about here this morning. And the first one is the world. We have to learn to resist the world. And you saw in our passage, it says in Romans 12 and verse 2, be not conformed to this world, okay? The world is a dangerous place, and what we need to talk about is the world system, the worldly system. It is constantly trying to fill us full of nonsense, and it starts at a young age. It starts at a very young age. It starts with modern education. It starts with modern education. The things that are being taught in our schools are scary. There are some good teachers still left out there, but most of them are dropping. They're dropping like flies. Let's talk about one basic one. Okay, when I was in college, I took a class. In the very first week, I was told that I come from a monkey. Yeah. I was told I come from a monkey. This ain't a joke. This happened. This happened. Okay? This happened. That's modern education. You came from a monkey. Parents, if you don't teach your kids at home the truth, someone else will teach them a lie. You have to understand it says God created man, not he created him through the ape, right? God created man and breathed life into him. That's how that happened. We have to understand. We have to make sure that we are teaching our kids the truth. I remember Jeff coming in here in one of his sermons. I'll never forget it. He brought a high school science book in here. I'll never forget it. He turned to the chapter on evolution. He turned to the chapter on evolution, and as he's going through the pages and that, he had come to one specific phrase in that book, and I'll never forget it. It said, it probably happened like this. Probably. Not fact. I got a book that tells you how it happened. Amen. Not that it probably happened, that this is how it happened. We have to understand that if you are allowing your kids to learn this stuff, I told you there's still good teachers out there. I had a seventh grade science teacher. I'll never forget it. He said, I don't believe this stuff. I'm not going to test you on it, but I have to teach it to you. That's what our school system is like. We're talking about the worldly system that is filling our kids' minds with nonsense, okay? And it starts with that. You need to teach your kids that the world was created in six 24-hour days. How God spoke everything into existence. How on the first day he created light and darkness. Okay? And then he put the sun and the moon and the stars in the sky. Okay? To light it. Then he brought forth the land and he separated the heavens from the heavens. Right? And then he brought forth the land, and then he filled it with all of the creatures that we see today, saying, kind produce kind. You need to teach your kids that. You need to teach your kids that. You need to teach them that God created the heavens and the earth. I want to move on to not only our educational system, but our entertainment. Our entertainment, we mentioned a little bit about this last week, and I got harassed because I was attacking radio stations, but that's okay. You can turn on the TV, and I believe you can't find a station without a bunch of trash on it. Amen. You cannot find a station without a bunch of trash on it. There's something specifically that sticks out to me is that sex is promoted on every channel. Fornication is promoted on every channel. Foul language has just become part of everyone's vocabulary, right? It's just another word to people, and that's not how it works. What is this teaching our kids? That it's okay, and it's not. It is not okay for this to happen. We need to teach our kids better. We are to, Ephesians 6 and 4, we are to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Amen. Something else about our entertainment is that we treat actors, we treat sports stars, we treat musicians like gods. We do. I'm not going to lie, I'm tickled to death that LeBron James broke the all-time scoring record, but I hate his interview after the game. I hate it because he taught our kids that it was okay to just scream out a vulgar terminology right on national television. That's what he taught them. Not that it was go for your goals and that kind of thing, but he taught them that it was okay to say whatever the heck you want. That's not right. That's not right. And we treat him like a god. We give him more power because he dribbles a basketball. We give him more power because he's on TV more than anybody else. Why do we give him that power? I don't know. But that is our entertainment. I specifically am picking on sports stars. But actors, you know, actors are given that. Musicians are given that. It's bad. It's really bad. And that is our worldly system. I mentioned music last week. I'm not going to harp on the radio stations, but I do want to make this comment. When we are warming up for our basketball games, I coach here at GW Middle School. When we're warming up for our basketball games, we've got to the point where we play music without lyrics. They say, here, let me play this song while we're warming up. Let me play this song while we're warming up. No, because we have to screen all of that music now before we can play it. That's awful. That's terrible. We go into some gyms and you can tell that they don't. You can tell that they do not screen their music. They just say, okay, the kids are going to take care of it. And when it plays, we go over to the athletic director or the principal and is like, man, do you know what's going on for your PA system right now? Do you know? That's not how it should be. We got to protect. We have to protect. 1 John 2 and verse 15. Let's turn there for just a minute. It's just a few pages over. 1 John 2. I say we treat these people like gods, our entertainment, our worldly education system, and it's because people love it. But we're given a warning in 1 John 2 and verse 15 that says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, what happens? The love of the Father is not in him. We need to learn to resist the world, the worldly entertainment, the worldly education. We must learn to resist these things. We have to train up our kids better, okay? We have many treasures here, and we shouldn't. Matthew 6 and 19 says that we're to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, not on the earth. And you all have laughed at me before because I've talked about how we like those 69 to 71 model Chevelles and Camaros and Novas and all that stuff. We want them whatever color you want, candy apple red and some racing stripes and that kind of thing. Those are treasures that people have here. But we're not supposed to have treasures here. It says, love not the world or the things of it. Our treasures are supposed to be in heaven. Our inheritance is in heaven, undefiled, uncorruptible, reserved in heaven for us. I believe, though, that we can enjoy the world as God created it, but not worship it. There's something about walking through the woods at Twin Falls State Park and enjoying the woods as God created it, preferably not up and down mountains, you know. Amen. But anyways, I mean, we can enjoy the world. I love nothing more than sitting on the riverbank or sitting at the lake and just talking to the Lord and enjoying His creation. I think we can enjoy that part, but not man-made. Not the man-made world. We must learn to resist the man-made world. Number two, not only the world system, But we need to learn to resist the flesh. Okay, turn to Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, we've been made new by the Spirit of God. But as we live here on this earth, we still have the remains of our fallen humanness, and we must fight it. Okay? We have fallen bodies that have lusts and desires. And in Romans 7, it tells us about an inner struggle that the people that God has changed with His Holy Spirit and the blood of His Son Jesus, but there's something else inside of us, and let's take a look at that. Starting verse 14, it says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not; for what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do." Let's start right there specifically. What that means is I know the difference because of what the Word of God says. I know the difference between what is right and what is wrong. Now, those things that I know that are wrong, I find myself doing them. Those things that I know by the Word of God are right, I can't seem to make them happen. Why? Why is that? He says it's because the law is spiritual in verse 14, and I'm carnal. Verse 16, it says, "If then I do which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then there's no more that I do it, but what? Sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that which I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." It's getting clear, right? "Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that when I do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." So really, let's make sure we understand what's going on. We know what's right. There's a struggle. It's the spiritual versus the carnal. Okay, it's a constant battle over and over and over again. Right? Because we see the things in the law, and God has revealed us based on His Word, but we can't seem to figure out how to do them. Because why? Because there's sin. There's sin in our bodies. There is sin in our bodies, and we must learn to resist that flesh, that sin. We have to do that. And then Paul closes this section out in verse 24 with the most wonderful, I believe, repentant statement, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Right? We're in a world of hurt having to fight against the flesh. World of hurt. And here he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Okay? We must learn to resist the flesh. There's always a constant battle. Our goal should be to put to death the works of the flesh. Turn with me to one more passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Says in verse 25, 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 25, it says, "And every man that strives for the mystery of the temperance in all things, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown." All right, when we're striving in the flesh, we are striving for corruptible things, those treasures, those things that we've mentioned before. But it says, "But we, those that are born again, those saints that Paul is writing to here at the church of Corinth, but we, okay, an incorruptible." We're looking for something better. Remember, we turn over into Hebrews chapter 11, and they were looking for something whose builder and maker was God. They were looking for something far better. They were looking for this incorruptible crown. It says in 26, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so I fight, not as one that beateth the air." But it says, "But I keep under my body," and what? "Bring it into subjection." Remember, when we're fighting the flesh, we have to keep our wants, we have to keep our desires under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I found myself to be a castaway. To bring our bodies under subjection, what this really means is that we must beat down the opponent. When you bring someone into subjection, you beat them down until you have control over it. And that includes your flesh. You have to learn to resist the flesh. Not only the world system, but the flesh. And I want you to see one more. The last one, let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. Now we must, not only the world system, not only the flesh, but we must learn to resist the prince and the power of darkness, who is none other than the devil himself. He is our biggest enemy. He will do anything in his power for us to make a stain on the name of Jesus. Okay? So when you look at 1 Peter chapter 5, let's look at verse 8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary is someone who is against you." Okay? Your adversary, who does it say it is? The devil. "As a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour." Verse 9 says, who are we talking about? The devil. What's it say we're supposed to do with him? Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We must learn to resist the devil. He is very much present in the earth. He is very much present in our education system. He is very much present in our entertainment. He is very much present in our flesh, honestly. Very much. That's how we got in the state we're in, is because of the sin of Adam. We fell. And we've inherited that sin nature. All because Satan had his hands around it. He's very much present. The scriptures say he is the liar. He is the tempter. He is the accuser. And we must be on guard. We must resist him steadfastly. That means we need to stand firm. We need to stand firm on the law of God. He carried Jesus out into the wilderness, or he met Jesus out into the wilderness. What did he do? He tempted him. He tempted him, but what did Jesus do? He resisted steadfastly. We need to make sure that we do the same thing. One last passage, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. If we're going to resist, if we're going to resist the devil, check out, he, like I've said before, typically when we get a command, okay, in Scripture, it's not followed up by nothing. It's typically followed up by something that we can, how we can carry it out, okay? That you don't just leave it open for interpretation. In verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong. But be strong where? In the Lord. We're supposed to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. I believe we're in that evil day. And having done all that we can stand. In order to resist the devil, we must be strong in the Lord. We must be strong in Him. We must stay close to Him in all of these things. In all of these things that we're supposed to resist, the only way to do it, we learned last week, to be filled with the Spirit, we cannot do it apart from being close to Jesus. Cannot do it. We must be close to Him. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. To be strong in the Lord means that we have the armor of God. In order for us to fight, we have the armor of God, and we have been given that armor to stand. It says in verse 14, stand for having your loins girt with the truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's what we need. That's what we're trying to do. In our resistance, we're trying to withstand the fiery darts that come from the devil himself. And verse 18, I don't want to forget that. I do not want to forget that. It says, praying always. Oh, I skipped 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always. Praying always. If you want to be able to resist these things, you must have the right mindset. And that mindset only comes from the Word of God and having the Spirit of God inside of you. It has to be that way. If you're going to have any kind of success resisting these things, if you're going to grow spiritually, it has to be because you are spending your time in prayer before an Almighty God, asking for His help. Because we're not fighting each other. I'm not fighting Stewie. I'm not fighting Lee. I'm not fighting Eddie. Right? It says I'm not fighting them. Who am I fighting? Verse 12. That's not flesh and blood, but we're fighting the principalities and against powers and against the rulers of darkness. I think the devil and his demons are very much present in our world. That's a fact. There's people sitting here that know it for a fact, that he's very present in this world. And we must learn how to resist these if we are going to grow spiritually. If we're going to grow spiritually, we must learn how to resist the world. We must learn how to resist our flesh. We must learn how to resist the devil and his temptations and his darts and those kind of things. We have to do that. One of the perfect examples of this, I said that was the last passage, but I want you to turn to one more. I want you to turn to one more. Check out James, James chapter 14, or James chapter 1. Before I get any weird looks, I need to make sure I get that right. Yeah, y'all turn to James chapter 14, would you? No, James chapter 1. Last piece, and I'll quit. We're talking about resisting these things. these things that are fighting against us. It says in verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. God's not the tempter. Let me make sure we understand that. God is not the tempter. He cannot. It says, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But I want you to see what happens. It says, but every man is tempted. And then there's the next word, when. If you write in your Bibles, underline that word, when, and write out from the side of it, certainty. Because you know what that means? It means it's going to happen. Jesus said, in this world you will, shall. Same word, when. And what happens? Since there's a certainty of when we're tempted, it says that he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That's what we're fighting against. It's us. We're fighting against ourselves. We're fighting against our flesh. We're fighting against, you know, what happened to Eve in the garden? She saw that it was good. She was enticed, right? It had nothing to do with God. God didn't tempt her, right? In order for us to resist, we got to make sure. We know it's coming. Let's make sure we understand that. You're not void of any of these things. You are not void. Just because you claim the name of Jesus, that you're void of any of these temptations from the world, from the flesh, or from the devil. You're not given a free pass. But it says, every man is tempted when? I promise, you need to be, in order for you to grow, you have to learn to resist the devil and the things that he throws at you. And the most important one is right there in verse 14 of the book of James, chapter 1, not chapter 14. It says, he is drawn away of his own lust. A lot of fancy stuff in this world. A lot of fancy stuff in this world. We need to make sure that we can resist those temptations. Amen. And it can only happen is when we are close to Jesus. I pray that you have a relationship with Jesus here this morning. I pray that you're close to him. I pray that that you talk to him on a daily basis. I pray that you are constantly looking into the scriptures each and every day. That way you can know if the things that you hear or those temptations that come along from the world or from the flesh or from the devil are so. We're supposed to care. Remember, when we started this, we said this is the canon. This is the canon of Scripture. And the word canon means measuring stick. Everything that we come into contact, everything that we hear, we're supposed to resist those things that do not come in play with this book. We have to make sure that we do it right. Okay? So, pray that the Lord's blessed you as a result of you being here. Let's all stand.